AgriTalk is brought to you by Full Scale from Helena. Grow strong returns this season with breakthrough foliar nutrition from Full Scale at Reproduction. And by propane. Propane is the energy for everyone, especially farmers. Environmentally friendly propane can fuel most anything on the farm. See how at propane.com.
Our name says it all. AgriTalk. What more do you need to know?
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad that you're with us on this Wednesday morning. By the way, Margie Eckelkamp, editor of The Scoop, has got a lot more fertilizer, interesting stuff about fertilizer at www.thedailyscoop.com. Give it a look. It is, it's worth your time. It's worth your time and your effort to go take a look at her fertilizer coverage and how things are changing, the options for fertilizer are changing. Jim Mintert is the director of the Purdue Center for Commercial Ag. He's also an ag econ professor at the Purdue University. He joins us right now. Jim, it's good to talk with you again. How are you?
Very good. Great talking to you as well, Chip.
You bet. Okay, let's jump right into it because there's some movement in the ag economy barometer that that we need to kind of dissect this month. What's going on?
So the ag economy barometer, the overall sentiment measure, dropped 8 points to a reading of 115. That's down from 123 last month. It's a couple of points lower than it was this time last year when it was 117. And maybe more importantly, if you go back 2 years, that index was at 138. So we're down substantially compared to where we were 2 years ago. And the biggest decline this month was really in the index of current conditions. It went down to a reading of 108. A month ago, it was at 121. So people were feeling worse about what was taking place on their operations at the moment here in mid-August when we did the survey than they were back in mid-July. And, you know, Chip, you follow the markets closely every day. I think you can guess why. I think a chunk of it was related to the weakness we've seen in key commodity prices, especially corn and soybeans.
And I think, Jim, the movement, an 8-point drop to 115, that's not an insignificant change in your index. And I think when you add on top of that, the fact that some farmers were watching their yield potential deteriorate as prices declined may have kind of, you know, emphasized this, the change in attitude.
Yeah, that's a good point. And we don't have a good read on that one because we didn't ask any yield prospect questions in this. And that's come up as we've looked at these results a little bit. So I think that is a factor. The other thing I've been thinking about, Chip, is, you know, the baseline for our survey is the last quarter of 2015 and the first quarter of 2016. If you average the barometer across those months, by definition, you get an average of 100. So at 115, we're starting to get down in the ballpark of where we were in that late 2015-2016 era. Mm-hmm. And I think most of your listeners remember those were some difficult times in agriculture. So people are starting to become concerned about where we're at. And I think they're looking at, you know, we look at the top concerns. You know, we continually ask that question now going back to last summer. The number one concern continues to be high input prices, followed by rising interest rates, followed by the possibility of declining crop and livestock prices. I think people are worried about a cost price squeeze.
Yes. Yep. We've been talking about it on the show here some, Jim. It's affordability of what it takes to do business in agriculture right now is taking a bite out of it. Now, when I saw the results yesterday, Jim, you know, sometimes maybe this is a weird dot to connect to, okay? I'm not sure. But there's more fighting on Ag Twitter right now than I have seen in a long time, Jim, and in other social media outlets. Farmers are beating up on each other. And when I saw this drop in your index, I'm like, well, this makes perfect sense. Guys are ticked off about stuff right now, and they're kind of taking it out on each other on social media.
Well, I think what you're probably getting at a little more deeply looking at our survey is the disparity in responses among people in the survey.
Okay.
So, you know, the investment index is a classic case. We pretty consistently get 70 to 75% of the people in the survey telling us it's not a good time to make large investments in their farming operation. Yet every month when we look at the survey, there are a group of people out there who think it's a great time, or at least a good time. We don't use the word great, but a good time to make those large investments. So you have this disparity depending on where you're sitting. And some of that's the size of your operation. Some of it could be, as you mentioned, yield prospects at the moment. Some of it might be based on your capital structure, especially your working capital availability. Could be related to whether or not you have a new family member coming into the operation, or whether or not you have an opportunity to expand the operation. But there are very different perspectives buried within the averages. And of course, what we tend to report are the averages. But one of the things we're doing from a research perspective is starting to dig into more of those individual observations to see if we can do a better job of understanding where people are coming from. And I think your point about people looking at declining prices and in some locations looking at declining yield prospects is a classic.
Yeah. It's very interesting.
Dave. Jim, let me hop in here real quick. You talked about the anxiety over inputs prices being a paramount concern. Prices are a whole heck of a lot better than they were a year ago and even just a couple of months ago. I'm looking at an Illinois print here from USDA at $589.11 for anhydrous. Are people not checking prices? Is that that's what's going on here? Or is there something else going on?
Well, that's a good point. And if you look at it a little more carefully, though, you're looking at the one input, broadly speaking, fertilizer, which has come down. Mm-hmm. Other inputs, other expenses have not. Uh-huh. And if you look at the overall cost prospects now and compare it to, example, maybe go back before the pandemic, right, we are operating at pretty elevated expense levels compared to that era. But you're right, especially since, you know, you go back to the first of the year, fertilizer values have come down pretty dramatically. And that is a boost, that is a help, but it does not completely offset the things that are either staying the same or in some cases continuing to go up. So that's the dichotomy I think we're faced with.
That's a good perspective. Yeah.
Right. And that tractor that you thought about replacing 2 years ago but thought, no, it's too expensive, I'm not going to do it, is more expensive now, and it's got higher financing rates on it.
And same story for the pickup truck too, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Jim, it's that affordability in this inflationary environment that we're needing to adjust to. And Jim, there's so many farmers, through no fault of their own, other than age, when they were born, have never had to really deal with this changing dynamic that of interest rates.
Yeah, that's a good point. And, you know, in our survey, I think even following the Fed announcements, it doesn't seem to impact the results very much. We continually get somewhere in the ballpark of 60 to 65% of the people in the survey say that they expect to see interest rates go up in the next year. I think this month it was 60%. In July it was 65%. So it was down just a touch this month. But, you know, that's even in that one, you've got a disparity of results, right? Because there's a group of people out there who actually think rates are going to go down in the next 12 months.
Right.
So you got this disparity depending on your individual perspective on the economy and your own individual situation, which creates some differences. But I kind of come back to the idea that when I look at that overall index, it's going to be very interesting to see how that plays out the rest of this fall.
Yes.
And see whether or not we start approaching those levels that we hit back in 2015, early 2016. Yeah. Because that would tell you a lot about what people are thinking, at least on the average. And again, in agriculture, there's always going to be some people who are well positioned to expand, to take advantage of opportunities for a variety of reasons. And then there's going to be a group of people who are feeling like they're kind of caught in between. And I think our survey captures both of those. But I think our overall weighting is obviously towards the folks that are a little more concerned.
Okay. Okay, let's get to the carbon question that you asked. We've only got about a minute left here, but I want to get to the details there.
Yeah, so the carbon stuff is interesting because lots of talk about it, and we're always trying to get a handle on it. So this question only went to people that grow corn or soybeans, so fairly specific. About 6% of them said that they have engaged in some discussions with companies about signing a carbon contract. Only 2% of them said they'd signed a carbon contract. So in our survey, we're getting down to some pretty small number of peoples, of farmers. Nearly half of those who discussed contract terms with a company said they were offered a rate of $10 to $20 a metric ton. And among the farms who said they had a discussion but chose not to sign a contract, half of them said it was because the payment levels are just too low.
Yeah. Yeah. There needs to be, if these companies that are offering these contracts want to beef it up, they got to beef up that payment to encourage some sort of a change on the production side. And that is, that's not happened for 10 to 20 bucks per metric ton. Fascinating.
It hasn't changed much over time either.
No, that's right. That's exactly right, Jim. Fascinating stuff. Thank you so much, Jim.
Thanks for the opportunity. Look forward to next month.
You bet. Jim Mintert from Purdue University with details of the Ag Economy Barometer.